A Smoking Pit. The next day, March 3, was filled with many new, God-given experiences. From 2:30 a.m. until 4:50 a.m., the Lord was with me. He began his visit by saying,
"My daughter, this is your Lord. I know you're tired, but I must show you more things."
For 15 minutes before his visit, my body shook uncontrollably. He took my hand and we walked along an earthly beach. It was a new sight for our visits to the seashore. There were many trees and bushes. We climbed over a narrow road that was lined with trees and bushes. We strolled along this lane, which wound around a mountain that we ascended rapidly. Near the summit, we rested on a huge rock that was shaped something like a gigantic bear. I looked toward the ocean, and I noticed that its waters had turned to blood once more. Again, I saw people running on the beach. These were not casual joggers. They were running in fear and panic. The panorama before us helped me understand what they were running from. To my left, the mountains and the buildings situated on each mountainside were all ablaze. It was an inferno worse than the annual brush fires that plague the citizens of Southern California. Next, I noticed huge fires bursting forth everywhere. People were on fire. Some were jumping into the ocean for relief, but when they stepped into the water, they would fall because of the fire. Everyone had become a human torch. I began to scream in horror and compassion for those I saw. The bloody ocean had turned into a cauldron of blazing brimstone. The sand was a bed of hot, flaming coals. The people were running from the fire that pursued them, surrounded them, and licked hungrily at their bodies. A few of them were naked and had no protection at all from the fire. It was futile anyway, for there was no escape from the scorching enemy that threatened to devour them. They could not flee to the mountains because they were engulfed in flames. No place was safe. I was screaming the whole time, and I began to sob, "Lord, what is happening?"
"You must remember, my daughter, that I am showing you these things so you will be able to let everyone know what is going to happen soon."
"When will this happen, Lord?"
"After I bring my children home. Many people do not believe my word. That's why I want you to write a book that describes your experience with me. I want the whole world to see this book, and I want them to realize that I am ready for them. I love all my children, but I cannot bring them to my kingdom if they're not ready for me. I will never force my children to do anything if they don't have a heart for me. I have been planning for you to do this work for a long time because my kingdom is completely ready now."
The Lord had to keep on reminding me and reassuring me of His plans because I was still so stunned that He had chosen me for such an important assignment. It was beyond my ability to comprehend the enormity of it all. The implications of the Lord's words to me were overwhelmingly important. There was a part of me that wanted to shrink from such an all-consuming work, but my commitment to obey the Lord in all things kept me going. I knew that He was preparing me for an end times work of epic proportions, and I was thrilled and yet intimidated. I knew He still had much work to do in my life.
"I will take you to heaven again."
Once we had arrived in heaven, we did not take time to go through the usual procedures. The Lord immediately led us away to the pit we had seen yesterday outside the gates of the kingdom. This time, we did not change our clothing. To get there, we had to walk on a mountainside, through a dark tunnel, and on to the summit of the mountain. When we arrived at the top, we looked down into a yawning pit that was so wide and deep that it appeared to be endless. It was a frightening, disturbing scene. The Lord said,
"I want you to see this again."
It was so hard to look into the pit of hell, but immediately my attention was directed toward a figure who was waving at me. Through the smoky haze, I could determine that the person was a woman. Then I heard her voice. She was speaking in my native Korean tongue, and she began to scream, "Hot! Hot!" I knew that voice. The smoke cleared, and I looked directly into the eyes of the tormented woman. I immediately recognized my mother. She stretched out her right hand and waved it at me, saying, "So hot! So hot!" I remember so clearly her eyes and my eyes meeting, and the way her eyes begged me to help her. My very own mother was screaming for help from the gaping pit of Hades. My heart stopped. A knife of cold hopelessness stabbed at my heart. My mother was in hell. I felt as if the boulder I was sitting on was on top of me. I wanted so desperately to reach out and take my mother's hand so that I could lift her from the licking tongues of fire that swirled around her. It was the worst moment of my life. There is no word in the dictionary that truly identifies what I felt at that moment. It was a mixture of fear, desperation, hurt, terror, sadness, and hopelessness. Then I realized that these were the very emotions that my mother would have to experience throughout all eternity. My mother had died when she was 40, but her face looked the same as I had remembered her. She was a beautiful woman, but her expression reflected the torment she was experiencing in the pit. I wanted to touch her, to hold her, to tell her everything would be okay, but I knew that these things had been made impossible because of her choices in life. I knew that I could not help her, that even the Lord could not help her because she didn't know Him. She didn't know anything about the Lord because no one had ever preached to her. It is not knowing the Lord that leads a person into hell. And this is why I want to tell the whole world about the pit I saw and the wonderful kingdom of heaven. Next, I saw my father, my stepmother, and a close friend who had died when she was only 19. They were all in hell. They looked the same as I had remembered them, but their faces were distorted by the agony of their punishment. I felt I couldn't take it anymore, and I turned my head away from the dreadful scene in front of me. Then I heard another familiar voice screaming out of the pit. It was a friend who had died 10 years before. Next to her was my nephew, who had died when he was 20. The last time I had seen him, he was only 10, but he looked the same as I had remembered him, only he was taller. I began to weep profusely. I had been crying the whole time, wailing like a child. So many of my loved ones and friends had made choices that had cast them into the fires of hell for all eternity. It was too much for me to bear. Some of them, I'm sure, had heard about the Lord, but I felt quite certain that no one had ever explained to them who Jesus was. I felt quite certain that if they had known who He truly was, then they would not have made the choices they had made. How I wished I could tell them about Him who said,
"I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
John 14:6. The pit of hell was a long way from us, but it was as if I had a telephoto lens that enabled me to see these people very closely. I could not control my tears, and the Lord lovingly wiped my tears and stroked my hair. It was then I realized the Lord was as sad as I was, and I could sense that He was crying along with me. He broke the silence.
"The reason I'm showing this to you, my daughter, is so that you will fully understand that no matter how good people are, they will go to hell if they do not accept me."
I nodded my head.
"I know your parents and your friends were good people in many ways, but they're not saved. That's why this is the only place for them. It is here that they will have to spend eternity. Daughter, I know it hurts you to see them, but you must include this experience in the book you'll write for me. This is why I show you your parents and others as you remember them. You have to warn the people of the world about the reality of hell. I want to see as many souls saved as possible before I return to gather my church unto myself. My Father loves all of His children, but He has given them certain laws that He expects them to live by. When I saw your loved ones, I felt deeper pain than you did, but I must live by my Father's word. Once a person goes to hell, there is no way for them to ever get out again. I want the unsaved to know this. The reality of hell is forever. I love every one of my children, but I cannot force anyone to love me or to obey me. If they will open their hearts to me, then I can help them to believe in me and love me. I want to save as many souls as possible. I want believers everywhere to preach the gospel. This is most important to me.
It was enough. I had seen enough and heard enough to propel me into a ministry of evangelistic fervor that could never subside. How could I ever remain silent after all I had seen and heard? I would tell everyone I saw about Jesus so that they could receive eternal life in heaven. Nothing in all the world was more important than this. My own parents and so many other family members and friends were in hell. I could not stand by and watch anyone else go there. I was so happy to know that my book would find its way into the hands of many people who need to know that hell is just as real as heaven is. Even though the things I saw in hell had greatly unnerved me, they had planted a resolve in my spirit that nothing would ever be able to dissipate. I was determined that no one else within my reach would be able to deny the reality of hell and heaven. Heaven is real, and I want everyone to be able to go there with me. I know that this is the Lord's desire as well. He says it in His Word. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 2 Peter 3, 9-10. The last days are truly upon us. The Lord's patience has been most gracious up until now, but He is getting ready to come again to receive His children to Himself. It is then that the people who remain on earth will truly experience hell on earth before they end up in the fiery inferno of everlasting destruction. My job is to warn the whole world about these events that are just around the corner.